Praise God. It's good to look out and see the people. Amen. Good to have our Brian's back. They've been across country. They back in the house. I was wondering if everything was good, but they right here in the place smiling. So I know the trip must have been a success. Amen. Praise God. I like that. I like the songs that we sung to worship and encourage. We said, God said his name. David said his name is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and find safety and deliverance. I like the imagery of the tower, because the tower was the battlement that they prepared that the watchman could sit on and look out and let you know what was coming on. And if you were out there and danger was coming, you could go into the tower and find safety. Amen. I like that, because the tower doesn't move. Amen. Sometimes you can rely on something that you can no longer rely on. Sometimes we rely on things in our past that are no longer relevant in our present. Amen. And then it causes us to kind of be a little scared. But God is a tower that's always there. Amen. He's from everlasting to everlasting, today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. God is in my past, forgiving me, covering that up. And he is an ever-present help with me. Amen. He's right here, right now. And then the good news is that he's already in my future. Amen. I don't have to worry about what's coming, because he already knows what's coming. He already knows what I have need of, and he's already made provision. Amen. Today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. And just in light of that, God is a God of tomorrow. With kind of with everything going on, how many days have we been in this COVID situation? What, 2 months, 3 months? We've been meeting together like this. I would have never thought that it would have actually lasted this long. You know, we've already decreed that the end has already come for COVID, that the world's just waiting to get caught up. But what it has done is forced everybody to kind of extend themselves. And I'm the first one to tell you, I believe that God was speaking to the church or speaking to the future when he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I believe that in the company of the body of believers, there is a commanded blessing. And we'll always encourage the people to come together. But I believe he was also speaking to our now time, where we're not limited to gathering in the physical place, but we can actually go beyond our current walls. Amen. We're not like back then, where if Jesus was in Bethlehem, he wasn't in Samaria. If the church was gathering in Bethlehem, he couldn't gather in Samaria. Not that same body, but we have the ability to not only gather here, but come right into your living room, for those of you who are watching by live stream. Amen. We believe that as we're gathered here and we are gathered in his presence, that not only does that right here, but that's extending to where you are. Amen. Amen. When Pastor Michelle was ministering Sunday, I was right there. I was eating it up, boy. I was gathering in. But you know what? You have Pastor Michelle in your living room or in your kitchen. And I'm just bold enough to believe that not only was she there on the screen, God's presence was in the house. I believe that God is moving us to reach out into this new age so that we're not limited. I'm believing, pastors, that as we get on the other side of this thing, our walls will extend. Whenever we come together, we're not just going to come together here, but we're coming together all over Austin, Buda, Georgetown, wherever our people are, we're coming together there. We are gathering together in other places in North Carolina. I know somebody's watching us. We got another member out there in North Carolina. There are people that have watched us in Houston, in California, in Oklahoma. Our walls are extending. I don't think we can define church the way we defined it before. And I believe that the church, we need to lay hold of that. And so in that light, you know what I'm going to encourage you to do? Get your phone. Go to the YouTube app. That's the only one I know of. I don't know how you do it on Facebook. And you can't do it if you're just watching it on a website. But if you can grab your phone, I want you to go to YouTube. Somebody send me, I've put the flashlight on. Go to YouTube hit the share button and go to somebody in your contacts and share the link to the service with them. Because here's what I believe is happening, this opportunity. We actually cooperate with God, especially in ministry. If anybody's talking to me, if they're a young minister and say, what's the most important thing? I'm going to tell them, God is the most important thing, not your notes, not your training. God is the most important thing. If I'm standing before the people, I am standing in representation of God, and who cares what I have to say? What's most important is them hearing what God has to say through me. So when I'm praying before I come out, what I'm praying for is that God to minister through me, for God to manifest his presence, for God to be glorified. And I think if you talk to any one of the ministers, they'll tell you that that is their heart. And so as you start sharing the link, what you're doing is cooperating with the Spirit of God to move in people's lives. You might have a family member that you're thinking of. You say, oh, man, the message that Pastor Michelle is sharing right now is so relevant. And somebody comes to your heart. God wants you to connect that person with the message. We couldn't do that before. Before, if I was here and my aunt was over there, I would have to tell her about it. I could buy a tape. Y'all don't even know what tapes are. This is a new generation. Man, good thing I didn't say A-track. That's way past them. Man, but you used to buy these things called tapes, and we moved to CDs. You can buy that and maybe give it to them. But now, in the moment, you can reach out to them and say, you know what? I think you ought to listen to this. And you cooperate with God. You may think of sending it to somebody, and then, like, they get it, and they're like, what's this message? And they don't want to do it, but God works on their heart during the week, and they go back to it and press the link and have an encounter with God. You cooperated with that. So that's why I want to encourage us now. We used to be passive. Now we can be actively involved in cooperating with God, even during the service. So that's why I want to encourage that. Get on the YouTube. I don't know how you do it on Facebook. You can do it there, but share the link with somebody. I've already shared it with like 18 people. All right, so here we go. I need to get off of that. I do also want to let you know, because I'm trying to cooperate with what the church is doing. And sometimes as we're gathered together and some of us are here, amen, we're in the fellowship, we get to see each other. I love when I'm ministering and every now and then I hear Sister Asia say, amen. I get a look. I don't need that. But it's encouraging. But amen. I'm glad you can't help it. Praise God. But some of us are extended. You're in your living room and you don't get to hear that. You don't get to get the encouragement for the other people. I want to tell you that within the YouTube app, there is a mechanism where you can see the family of God. If you are on it right now, if you look to the left, as you're right, you'll see the string of characters. Actually, or below. Oh, somebody sent me a message. Or look below. Look below, and you will see a string of people. That's our family. Right now, Ken Price is on there, man. He says, from this point, go forward and do right. Amen. I was on here and Brother Oyola was on there. Praise God. Go down there and you'll see where it says live chat. Click that live chat. Boom! The family is right there praising God. I want to tell you, last time we was in praise and worship, it was a whole string of people, man. Y'all were just blessed by the worship team. So I'm trying to lead this thing. I want us to do this more. Come on. Come on. Let's get involved with this. I want you out there on live stream. Go to the live chat. You see it. If you're in YouTube, again, I'm going to have to get on Facebook and see what they can do. I want us to be involved. But let me get off of that. I'm trying to push this thing. Let me get off of that, and let me get on the message. Today's message, praise God, I'm going to go into the anointing. I'm going to put this up because this is distracting me. Today's message is peace over panic. Peace over panic. This is not even mine. I was watching on television. I heard them say that, and God spoke to me. And he was like, ooh. I was like, ooh, that's good. Peace over panic. You know, I never imagined as we got into the COVID situation, as we, we've gone into the weeks where they want us to shelter in and social distance. I never imagined that people's frustration would be the primary driver for them pushing past the fear of COVID. I never imagined that, you know? I never imagined that somebody would say, you know what? I'm not staying home no more. I need to go make some money. I'm going to open up my beautician. I never imagined that. I thought other things could happen, but I didn't think that. Me and my wife were watching the news. You know, we watched it at the end of the day. We don't focus in on them, but we kind of keep what was going on. And there were all these people at the beach. Like, not even, I mean, they were like right next to each other, you know? Not even right next to each other. They were like, they were like half naked next to each other. You know, I'm like, man, they like, man, we don't care about COVID. It ain't no fear here. And I'm like, well, I'm glad it's not fear, but you don't want to move from fear into foolishness, you know? I'm like, it's another beauty shop. They opened up and they had people coming in, and then two of the workers had COVID. And now everybody that they worked on, they had to, I'm like, what? Well, we don't want to get into in the foolishness, kind of that faith foolishness and presumption, and that didn't have nothing to do with faith. It's just frustration. And so this is what God pushed in me or encouraged me with, was peace over panic. Because God's people, God doesn't want his people out of control or driven by fear or driven by emotion. God wants his people in self-control. I heard Richard say something that blessed me, man. I was waiting to use it. He said, whenever they were dealing with their children coming up, sometimes maybe the children may get a little out of control, and Richard and Michelle, or Michelle, I'm not sure which one, but they would look at the kids and say, hey, you need to get under control. And if you can't get into control, then I can get you under control. And I was like, well, that's a word of wisdom right there. So I can help you with that, amen. And hey, it blessed me when you said that. I was like, man, shoot, Anitra used that on me, boy. I can get you in control, Mr. Hendricks. I was like, all right, let me go sit down somewhere. But God wants you under control. So panic leads to quick decisions based on limited knowledge. Panic leads you to quick decisions based on limited knowledge. Let me go to 1 Thessalonians 5. You heard Sister Michelle minister on this about us being tripart beings, spirit, soul, and body. We're spirits that possess a soul that lives in a body. If you're going to be in the earth, you have to have a body. If you don't have a body, you don't have a right to be in the earth. That's why the Lord came in the form of man in the earth. Had to be a man to redeem the man. Couldn't have been a spirit redeeming the man. He had to take on the form of man because he was going to need to shed blood. Now, going all the way back to the garden, when God formed man from the dust of the ground, he created him. And then he breathed into him. I believe at that point, he breathed his spirit into him. If you read the earlier verses, he was already talking to Adam and Eve when he created them. So I believe he created them. He's not a creation. And then he breathed his creation into the earth body. At that position or at that point, man was a perfect being, united and connected with God. And from that perception, from that viewpoint, he lived. From his spirit, out from his soul, and then, of course, making contact with the earth through his body. I believe that divine connection was disrupted when man rebelled against God, and no longer was he able to live from spirit, soul, and then out the body. Then it became soul and body. Soul and body. Now, watch this. When Eve sinned, the temptation was not about what he called the apple. We don't even know it was an apple. Could have been a banana. We just know it was fruit. All right? It was fruit. But that wasn't the temptation. Remember what he said to them? Did God say you can't eat from that tree or you can't touch that? She said, no, you can't eat from it and you can't touch it. Which, of course, God never said you couldn't touch. He said don't eat from it. But what was it? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's how you know the devil was deceiving them, because in the position that Adam and Eve was in the very beginning, they already knew good. Already knew good. Didn't know evil, but they knew good. They were intimate with good. And so that's where the deception of the enemy came in. And from that point on, what we have is mankind growing up, living according to knowledge. Both good, both evil, but in part. You can't have full knowledge without the knowledge of the Lord. The beginning of the wisdom is fear of the Lord. Knowledge starts with God. And so we have partial knowledge. And so what happens when we get in emotional situations, when our emotions are frantic, emotions demand for you to do something now, right? Oh, I'm happy. I'm excited. I got to go. So I got to do something. I need to eat this cookie right now, right? That's what the kids feel. The emotions are driving them. Or I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'll never have a girlfriend. Oh my gosh, let me go and hook up with whoever, right? Now, my emotions are driving me. Or somebody betrays me, they do something that was against me, and I'm either feeling vengeful, I can't believe that, and I'm not making a great wise decision because at that moment I'm making a decision based on partial knowledge, based upon my current experience or somebody else's current experience without full understanding of what's going on in the whole situation, right? This is what happens when we get into rumors and gossip. Somebody tells you, oh, girl, did you hear so-and-so did this and da-da-da-da-da, and this is what happened with them. And you hear that person's story. And one of the things that Pastor Jim encouraged me with, since he said you're going to move into the realm of ministry, make sure you understand that there are always three stories. There's that person's stories, there's the other side of the story, and then there's the truth that's in the middle. So every time I hear either my friend or somebody else come and talking to me, I always remind myself, remember, you only have part of the story. But what happens is we get that, and that part of the story riles us up, and then we make a decision based on partial knowledge. When you make decisions based on partial knowledge, you're going to get an improper result, right? You're going to get a broken friendship, maybe even a broken marriage. Or you're going to start a business that's not fully stable. You're going to make a decision based on partial knowledge, and you're going to cripple the business. This is not what God wants to do. So God wants us to have peace over panic. Panic leads to quick decisions based on partial knowledge. That's not what God wants. He wants our emotion-filled decisions do not produce the glory of God. Here's my first scripture, James chapter 1, verse 19. All right? I'm going to tie this in. It's loosely related. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, what is anger? Anger is an emotion. So he's talking about emotions there, but what he's saying is that's not going to bring about the fruit of God. Now, what do we pray? God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We know that as Jesus Christ is in heaven, so are we in the earth. We are God's ambassadors in the earth, as if God was in the earth reconciling the world to himself. This is not what God had to do. This is what God has chosen to do. He is working through fallen mankind or weak mankind. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm glad I didn't have to be perfect for God to choose to use me. But God says, you know what? Your imperfections are just right for me to show how glorious I am. God's will, his purpose, his desire is for him to manifest himself in the earth through us. And he says the hindrance of that is you getting into your emotions. You getting angry and you know, I'm gonna go cock that person in the head. That's not the glory of God. You completely dismiss the grace and the mercy of God. But that person did me wrong. God says, hey man, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But Lord, you can share that with me. Right? No. God wants, first and foremost, always, for his glory to be manifested in the earth through you. I remember a situation where there was a gentleman, not going to say the name, was my wife warned me, but he had a close friend, And this friend ended up committing suicide. It's terrible. And for some reason, he blamed himself for this guy committing suicide. And every year, around the time of this dude's suicide, this dude would throw on, like, depressing music. I'm not sure what the classification was, but and he'd get in his room and he'd isolate himself and just be filled with depression. And this dude was brilliant. I mean, he was great. He was in charge of bringing education to the children in the area that we were working in. He was brilliant. I mean, brilliant the way he did it. And for that time, he was like useless because he was in this deep, depressed, emotion-filled state. That's not what God wanted. I won't leave it there. He ended up going to a place, and my sister in the Lord, Renee Rochester, some of y'all know her, she saw this dude, and I mean, this wasn't even around the time of that the guy's death, I don't think, but she looked at him and said, could you come here for a minute? And she said, man, the spirit of depression is all over you, trying to steal from your life. And she prayed for him, and that dude, I mean, boom, you saw a change in him. He started crying, and he never did carry out that ritual that he had. He was free from his state of depression. Amen? That's what God wanted from him. But the depressive state, that wasn't showing forth the goodness and glory of God. That's what the enemy was using to steal from this guy's life. So God does not want us in the emotions or being controlled by the emotions. He rather wants us controlled by the Spirit. That's why I said man's anger does not show the righteousness of God. Now, go a little bit further down. A little bit further down, 20, for man's anger does not bring forth righteousness. God, 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Look at the encouragement there. Don't be in the emotion, right? Don't be in the emotion. Don't be just in the moment, but accept the word. Accept the truth which can save you, because the truth is not shaken by the things that come up around you. The emotions are meant to be like this. I always say the emotions are the body's emergency warning system. Emotions are not bad. They just have a specific role. They alert you and let you know something is going on. And now you say, okay, now I need to make an informed, controlled decision about what I'm going to do. So whenever I'm talking to people, if we're getting in relationships and encouragement, and say, ooh, I love this person. Then just, oh, well, okay, I say, all right, that's emotion. First thing, now I'm not saying that love can't come or love won't be there. First thing is don't trust the emotion. Because the emotion can lead you to make a quick decision. Oh, my God, he's beautiful. Oh, my God, he brought me some gum. That's what I did for my woman. When we first met, he did such and oh, my, I gotta get with this person. And God may be speaking to you and like, hey, just wait on that. Right? You got to pull back. God wants you to make an informed decision. See? People think love is, oh, my gosh, he just brought me the roses, and he just, oh, my Lord, he said these nice poems to me. Oh, my gosh, roses are red, violets are blue, I love you. I'm like, gosh. Well, I mean, it gets stupid stuff. I had a friend. She had a guy that she's in love with. Not going to say the name. And she's like, look at this poem. This is a beautiful poem. I was like, that's stupid. I'm just saying it didn't mean anything. And that dude was unstable. She married a beautiful guy, wonderful guy for her. Wasn't that other dude? But she wanted to be with him because of this poem. I'm like, that's whatever. That's ridiculous. You know, I'm serious. People from the streets, they don't fall for that stuff, right, Aisha? I'm just saying, all right, Aisha, because she'll keep it real. She'll keep it real, man. Come on, man. No, you need to go with self. Control. But John, what about love at first sight? Don't believe in it. I don't believe in love at first sight. What I do believe is in love at first discernment. The Bible says deep can call out to deep. You can meet somebody and then get a connection in here. Oh yeah, I believe in that because that's from the Lord. See? That's not from the head or from these outside things. You can trust that. You can go with that. This person's not going to harm me. This person's not going to do me wrong. I can go with that. See, that's the Lord leading you. Self-control. Can't trust emotions. You can let them know, oh, my gosh, this is going on. I saw my wife wanted to be with her. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's a great woman. I went and checked her out. I investigated her. When talking about, hey, what kind of woman is this? Start checking into it. Then I knew that I really liked her. I started and told my friends, man, I don't trust myself. I like this girl. I need you to watch me. He's like, I got you, John. So, all right. And then we proceeded, you know, accordingly. Self-control. That's not the way I first started. Name and turn. No, there's this girl I like, boy. I was like, woo! I'm going to say it was day five. They put me onto her. But now... I'm not going to say that. I want to say that. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, I was in love with this girl. Man, I got so hurt behind that girl. I mean, and it was unnecessary. It was unnecessary. That's not what God wanted for either one of us. But that was me just running behind my emotions. God wants us in self-control. And I'm not leaving it. I'm still in peace over panic. I just want to show you, we don't want to trust our emotions. Now, we're not fighting our emotions. We recognize they're there, but they have a specific role. They just alert us about stuff. They're not what we should be making our decisions from, all right? They just alert us about stuff. So our emotion-filled decisions do not produce the glory of God. 2 Timothy 2:24, I want to get past this, but just give you a little more. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. This is this is Paul's. Yeah, Paul's encouragement to Timothy as he's running his church. He's like, Timothy, quit quarreling with these people. What do you do when you quarrel? 2 Timothy 2:24. Quit quarreling with these people. What happens when you get into these quarrels? You're getting into your emotions. The Lord's servant, verse 24, the Lord's servant must not quarrel, but instead he must be kind to everyone and able to teach. Look at that. Able to teach, able to instruct. You know one of the most challenging thing it is for Pastor Michelle and Pastor Richard? When some of you jokers tick them off. Because it's something you do. You know why? Because they have to remain self-controlled because they may need to give you godly counsel. You can't make them mad. Come to them and say, I need some wisdom from you. And they say, you know what? Too bad. I knew this day was coming. They can't do that. They may feel like doing it. They can't do that. You can't do that. You have to be self-controlled. Somebody's arguing with you and they don't want to agree with you. You have to remain under control so that you can give them wisdom. So that part is also talking about emotion. You can take it beyond that in every area of your life. Something incredible happens. You can't go, oh my gosh, and get in a moment. Because right in that moment of consternation, God may want you to give discernment, peace, wisdom. Right there in that moment. I told you we were at a time where we were at camp. Oh my gosh. We were at camp, and we had a hurricane coming through. And we had a particular thing that we did. We call it challenge course in the trees. Okay. Trees are 14, 16 feet up in the air. And we were taking a group of kids up into the tree. That's right. We call them treetops. And so as we had the kids up there, the storm was coming through. They're like, oh, my gosh, you got to get these kids down. And so we get everybody over to the final thing because we can't just let – it's dangerous to just let them down over the edge of the thing. So we're taking them to the end, and we're going to – there's a ladder there, and we're going to walk them down. That's still dangerous because we have them clipped into lines above the tree. So if they fall, it's not just hanging from the thing. They're not falling to the ground. But once you unclip – then you can fall to the ground. So at this point, it's really dangerous. So we have them there at the end, and the storm is coming through, and as this kid's about to go down, we look up, and the top of this tree comes flying over our head. Now, I didn't say a leaf. This was actually like the top of a tree. That's how strong this wind was. Comes flying over the head, and the kid looked up and looked at me. And at that moment, I had a decision. I could have went, oh, my God, get out of the way. I mean, every man for himself. Right? Because, hey, that's the rule of the street, man. You got to get it how you get it. I'm getting down. No, I knew I was going to have to be one of the last ones going down this street. I didn't want to be the last one. Common sense says whoever's up in this tree, when the next tree come flying, you might not be here anymore. No, I had to go down. And dude looked at me and said, hey, man, God's got us covered, dude. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You in my area, it's not going to hit us. We're going to make it to the thing. He said, you think so? I said, man, I know so. Come on. Inside, I was like, oh, my God, hurry up now. Outside, hey, peace of the Lord. The kid got down that tree peacefully and went away to his thing. Then I kicked my other counselor, get down the steps, man. We got to get out of here. Up here when the storm coming. Who made this decision? No, but I got to speak to that kid about the protection of our Lord. Come on. Some of you, because God wants to use you to minister to people's lives, your friend, your relative, somebody is going to be going through it, right? I like this. I heard this. It says, hey, sometimes when we're going through the storm, we're not all going through the same storm, right? Your storm might not be my storm. I might just have to be in the house with Anitra frustrating her. That's her storm. Your storm might be, man, we about to lose our house because I can't go to work. How many people know that's a different storm? It's a storm, but it's different. Your friend might be going through a storm, and they need you to speak God's peace, God's wisdom, God's strength to them. You can't get down with them in the mud. You can empathize with them, but God wants to use you to pull them up to where he is, where they will be safe. So you have to remain calm and under self-control. I learned this when I watched my wife. You don't be careful, don't. You're not going to get sympathy when you come talk to my wife. You come to her like, hey, so-and-so is doing da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. The first thing you're going to say is, okay, let's be calm. I'm like, woman, let's be calm. She takes the other side. She tries to bring reason to a troublesome situation. Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I like listening to her do that. I go, yeah, it's my wife. I picked a good one. It's a discipline skill. Don't be rattled by the emotion, right? The Lord gave us a spirit of what? Self-control. Self-control, self-discipline. Why is that one of the characteristics of the Spirit? It combats being out of control. So remember, peace over panic. God wants you under control. Now, we got that. We need to know second point. Oh, come on, Johnny. Let's get through it. What you know has to rule over what you feel. What you know has to rule over what you feel. John, I'm going to pray that I don't feel anything. That's not going to happen. We are physical people living in a physical world. I guarantee you, you are going to have feeling. The key thing is, and I love this. I love when Pastor Michelle ministers. She ministers about self-control, a ruling over. I don't even know if she remembers that, but she talked about, you know what, I need to get authority, take control of my house. There's a lot of things piling up out of the way. I am Lord of this house. We're going to take order. I love that because that was a beautiful picture of what we need to do with our bodies. We are Lord of our bodies. We are Lord of our emotions, and we need to reign over the emotion. We're going to feel. That's not going to happen, right? As one of my aunt, she used to encourage me, John, you're a young man. You need to pray to God for the spirit of celibacy. I was like, there's no way I'm praying for that. I might not be able to get that back. No. What we need is self-control. Self-control. Can't pray to God, God, take away my emotions. No. God wants you to rule over them. Give you an example. Remember, Jesus is going to the cross, and Pilate's talking to them, and people are like, hey, man, why don't you just, you know, get down? Not get down yet, because he hadn't gone there, but, you know, Pilate's telling him, he said, those are not my people. If I wanted to, I could call 10,000 angels, and they would come and deliver me right now. right? All of us, we're like, uh-oh. Because if Jesus is not there, there's no redemption and we in trouble. Why? But Jesus was under self-control. He wasn't panicking in his situation of turmoil. Why? Because he knew the plan of God. That's why I love that scripture is in there where he's in the garden and he's praying, Lord, if it be your will, because it highlights the situation, right? I don't want to go through this, but I don't want what I want. I want what you want. But it highlighted that he understood the purposes and the plans of God. How do you combat these unknown situations that come before you? You have to be grounded in understanding who I am and what God has called me to do. There is a destiny for my life. I have to understand this is in my life to aid me. This has come into my life out of nowhere. It's not a part of my life. I need to cut that off. It's not there to help me. Remember, Jesus says, hey, some of you can get into heaven. You're not going to get into heaven unless you cut your arm off. Remember he's talking about that? I'm like, Lord, that's brutal. I don't want to cut my arm off. I love playing basketball, you know, or whatever. No, sometimes you have to make weighty decisions because there is a friend in your life that is not aiding you. They are not a comfort to you. They are a hindrance to you. And God's saying, you know what? That needs to be cut from your life. Or there's an activity that you love, enjoy doing, but it's stealing from you. God's saying, you need to cut that from your life. That's an emotional decision. God's saying, make a sound decision. Right? A self-controlled decision. I have to be able to see that. I have to understand what the purposes and plans of God for. That's how Jesus was able to get through that, and he didn't do what he shouldn't have done. Right? So another thing, so going from that, understanding the will and the purposes of God, the next thing is understanding the truth. Remember the last scripture says, accepting the truth so it guides you. John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Every time one of us ministers this particular point, they always go back to the point that that no is an intimate no. It's not the knowledge and the understanding, the mental assent of knowing some scripture or whatever. It's your personal intimate experience with the truth. That truth sets you free. That truth sets you free. This is why I'm listening when Sister Michelle is encouraging us to go into our closet and pray. Not because it's the spiritual exercise of prayer, which is important, but it's the weight of the importance of spending time with God. It's like going away into the bedchamber. This is some Song of Solomon stuff, right? Come away with me, my pretty. God said, look, come, be intimate with me, be alone with me. Why? So he can whisper things to you. So he can whisper truths to you. And it's that truth, that's that intimate knowledge of that truth that keeps you grounded when things get crazy. You got to understand it. You got to know it, because to not understand it, to not know it, is to put you in an unfamiliar situation. And now I might panic because I don't understand where I am and I don't have direction. Remember the instruction to Joseph and the group? It says you are going somewhere where you've never been before. Therefore, look for the ark. When you see the ark go past you, then you're going to know the way to step. So for us, before we get into these unknown situations that inevitably will come into our lives, we make sure we spend the quiet time with God. So when that situation arises before us, we hear the voice of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, I don't have to panic. I understand. I understand what God, even though I don't know the situation, even though I don't understand the situation, I know the voice of the Lord. I see that. I'm going that way. So that's a controlled decision. So the truth that you know will set you free or allow you to be established in the truth. Last point, all right, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Jesus is giving the example of two houses being built, right? This was ministered to you as well. One house is built on stone. When the storm and the rain came, beat on that house was able to stand. The house that was built on the sand, shifty sand, when a storm came, that house was not able to stand. The encouragement was, build your life on the truth. On the truth. Why? Does that mean if I build my life on the truth that the storm won't come? No. He's telling you storms are coming. They're coming. The decision that you get to make is how you prepare yourself for the coming storm. And the encouragement, look, build your life on the truth. Accept the truth in your heart. The truth that you know will set you free. Why? Because when the shifty stuff starts happening, you will be rock solid. Even though everything is crazy around you, is up in the air, is going like this, you're just like, hey, we're getting through the storm. We're walking through the storm. Why? What's the encouragement in the word? The encouragement word is, don't be like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What's the stuff that's going out there in the news? That's why we watch it sparingly. We do watch it. It is a wind of doctrine. They're telling nobody go out. Everybody stay in the house. Make sure you wear a mask. It don't touch anything. Man, it's COVID all over those surfaces. Then the other day I said, well, you know what? They can't really get it on surfaces. Doesn't last long enough. What? I did all, yeah, I bought all this Clorox. My house is stinking. Well, I don't do that. Why? Well, it's a wind of doctrine. Just got people going like this, right? They tell you, look, man, don't eat eggs. Eggs will kill you. That stuff is not safe. You got people just throwing eggs out the window, and then years later, man, eggs are fine. You need to make sure that's in your diet. What? I gave up homilies for you. That stuff is here and there, man. You can't base your life on us. That's superficial stuff, but what about the permanent stuff? Those stuff that actually affect your life. That can rock you. That can rock you. So God says, no, build your life on the truth. One of the basic truths that I learned later, right before we got married, is my understanding of what love was. The love was, you love me, you'll do this for me. That's not love. Love was, the understanding of God is you being willing to give yourself for the other person. He loved us and gave himself for us. For God so loved the world that he gave. So when I'm looking for love, I'm looking for another person that's giving. Giving. So I judge myself. If I'm loving my wife, I have to understand, okay, am I being giving or am I being demanding? Demand is not love. I demand you have sex with me in order to prove your love. That's not love. That's not love. My love was, you know what, wife, understand that this is something that you're great at. I can see you making a career for that. We're going to carve a path out for that to make sure you're free to pursue that. Now I'm making a way, I'm covering. That's love, being able to give. You know what love doesn't get to do? And this is what I try to use. I tell myself. This is what I try to use in my life. My wife, you know, man, you didn't do this for me, so you don't deserve my love. That's not love. Love is not determined by the other person. God so loved that he gave. To who? To us. Who wasn't even trying to be on his side. It's not determined by what the other person does. That is a hard standard of love to live up to. But that is the love of our Father. That's the love that we build on. That's a truth. That's a truth that I'm established and rooted in, and now I can recognize that truth in others so that when things that are not like love come around me, I understand that and I'm rock solid because I didn't go that other route. But y'all don't understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say how you establish yourself in truth and then you're not easily shaken when the storm comes. So what you know, the truth, has to rule over what you feel. What you feel will challenge what you know. What you feel will challenge what you know, and that's your opportunity to rule, to put your emotions in check. Amen? Amen. Let me get to the end here. Here's the last one. I think this is the last one. Last one. So we're establishing ourselves in the truth. Truth's going to protect us when there's a storm so I can make a sound decision and not a panic decision. The last thing, here's the thing that really gets us into panic. Stop wasting today's strength fighting tomorrow's battle. All right? Stop wasting today's strength fighting tomorrow's battle. This is the thing that gets us into so much trouble, especially the type A personality. This is where I go back to the personality stuff. Richard and Michelle ministered because what's that? The caloric. Some melancholic can have some of this because you can go. Let Richard and Michelle teach it to you. I just ate off of it. But anyway, calorics like to be in control. Control over everybody. When it's out of hand, it's great when the calorics acting in their position because they're natural leaders and they kind of help people, you know, and so it's great when melancholy and calorics get together. It's wonderful. But anyway, you like to be in control. What's one of the things you can't control? You can't control tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet. But we will rack our minds silly thinking about the problems that we see coming tomorrow. You're not in control of that. You're not in control of that. Couldn't control that. Can't even change that. And then we start worrying. Matthew 6 and 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about it. Why didn't God want us to worry about it? How should we not worry about it? God said, because all that stuff that the Gentiles want, it will be provided for you. God wants you free of worry. God, I need a house. God, I need some clothes. God, I need some food. He says, man, the birds want that stuff. The flowers get dressed. They don't even know how it just comes out. They don't have to worry about that. If I care for those things, how much more will I care about you? Why? He wants you free of worry and panic. Don't get into panic. He wants you free of that. Don't worry about that. 627, this is the one I was actually trying to get to. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Oh my gosh. You know what he's saying? He was saying, stop putting so much time into useless activities. Worrying doesn't do anything but add stress to your life, gets you closer to dying. Because of stress, worry, and panic, give up on fruitless activity. This is where the spiritual people can get into trouble. Because, like, I'm not worrying, I'm praying. I'm not worrying, I'm praying. God says, I have something for you. All right? I'm going to read it because I'm not going to say it right. It says, prayer is not the spiritual dialect to a fearful position. I heard that from somebody. All right? Prayer is not the spiritual dialect of a fearful position. You get afraid. You know what? I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray to justify this fear that I have. Oh, God, do you hear about this COVID situation? I just don't understand. I can't even get no masks. The toilet paper's all gone. Lord, come on, you know. And you're really just spouting fears when your prayer, you got the intimate prayer where you're communing with God and you're listening for God to commune with you. And then let Pastor Michelle lay this stuff out to you. And you got the prayer where you're decreeing the will and the plan of God, the word of God, and you're speaking that. You're not speaking fear. But God, don't you know these things that are happening to me and what's going on? That's the fear. No, God wants you speaking his word, being under control. Why? So that he can show up and manifest in that situation. The eyes of the Lord going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone through which God can show himself strong. But oh my God, John, that stuff that's coming tomorrow. You know what it says in this verse? It says, you know what? There is enough trouble for today. Stop worrying about tomorrow's trouble. What does God? God wants you busy handling what you can handle. Let tomorrow take care of itself. When that day comes, God's grace will be sufficient for you that day. He's already given you grace for today. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. He gave that to you. And he said, don't go out there trying to get some manna and save it for tomorrow. I'm going to give you manna tomorrow. Go out and get the manna for today. Then what happened when they tried to get some extra manna? It decayed. That's what all of us doing. We're going out here trying to get this extra stuff, and it's decaying in our possession. It's worthless. It's not useful. No, handle today what God wants you to handle today. Tomorrow's going to be here. You're going to get to handle that. You know, you can plan and do stuff like that. When that day comes, I'm going to do these things. Just probably handle that. And then you're free to handle today's stuff today. Instead of worrying about what can't happen tomorrow. Worrying, which is a fruitless activity that doesn't even affect your tomorrow. It doesn't even affect your tomorrow. But I'm spending this useless activity, and then I'm getting wasted, and now I'm tired, and I can't properly minister to the people around me, or be the friend that I need to be, or be the husband that I need to be, because I've exhausted all this energy worrying about, you know, oh my God, there's this thing that's coming. It's 2 weeks away. God, if you don't do anything, it's 2 weeks away, something bad gonna happen. God said, man, it's 2 weeks away. I need you doing what I told you to do right now, right? We're forgetting to do what we need to do today, focusing on tomorrow's problem, which is stealing from our today. And then tomorrow, I got tomorrow's problem, then yesterday's problem, because, you know, and then I'm like, God, why didn't you put me in this situation? It's like, no, you were supposed to handle yesterday. Do what you can do so that you can be at peace. And you don't have to be overcome with panic. Why? Because God wants his believers under control. Because in any of those situations, God is doing something. And we want to be in position to cooperate with him. That's why I say in the COVID situation, God is doing something. He is positioning people. Positions of elevation so that power can be released through them, so that what God is doing is going to be released to them. He is arranging situations so that when we get to those situations, it's going to release blessing. Damon talked about favor. It's going to release those things into our life. God is working and moving. We just need to trust him and depend on him. And not panic, because he's going to faithfully get us to those situations. Amen. Amen. I don't have anything else. You at home, be blessed and don't panic, because God has everything under control. Amen.
Praise God. Stand with me. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard. We thank you for Brother John, for his ministry that you have placed in his heart and his life. We thank you for his obedience to deliver what you have given him. Father, we thank you that your word is life. Your word is truth. Your word brings us to life and sustains us in life. And Father, we take the word that we've heard tonight and we make sure that it is planted in good ground, and that we water it and it grows and it produces much fruit in our lives. Thank you, Father, for this time that we've been together in your presence, in your sanctuary, in your house. Thank you, Father. We give glory and honor and praise to you. And we say the word will not be stolen from us, but we will be faithful to watch over what you have given us, faithful stewards of your word. We thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Well, I want to remind you about tomorrow night, 6:30 right here, prayer meeting. That's been going really well. I'm looking forward to it. God is doing some stuff. And coming up Sunday, I'm expecting some supernatural, let's say, fireworks. Yeah. I think that it's time. God wants to pour out of his spirit. And just because it happens to be Pentecost, why not Pentecost 2.0? If he's going to pour it out, it might as well be now. Might as well be here. So come ready. Come expecting. Be listening for details for Sister Annie Rogers' homegoing celebration. Everybody clear? I call you blessed. You are servants of the Lord. You are sons and children of God, taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And fear shall be far from you. No weapon formed against you will prosper, but everything that would try to come against you, we curse and cast it down and say it is null and void of effect in your life. And everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and successful when you are following God's orders. I call you blessed. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Go with God. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you for watching on live stream. Come see us.